Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Having a great day, bro.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today, bro?
Looking forward to the Blessed Hope.
Well, praise
Amen.
God. Guys, we are really, really excited about this episode. It's something that's really, really important, but I also wanted to remind you guys that we are coming out to Texas. We're trying to keep this reminding you guys over and over that we are coming out to Texas March 25th through the 27th. We will be in the San Antonio area on the 25th, and then we're going to do a quick hopscotch and the 27th in the San Antonio area, and then we will be in Corpus Christi on the 26th. While we're out there, okay, not only will Joe be teaching in El Paso right before that on a TV station out there, but Joe is going to be sending in devotionals as well as doing a radio interview with, I believe it's called KSLR out in Texas. So please keep your ears if you're anywhere near there. Just listen to it, check it out. Hopefully you guys will be blessed by it. And also come and meet the team. We want to record the episodes we're doing like this, Good Fight Radio Show. We want to record those in Texas. We'd love to meet you guys and talk about it a little bit. So we are really, really excited. And don't forget, guys, Blessed Hope Chapel, every Sunday, every Wednesday, usually, right, Tony, on our Facebook, we're there. We have live feed. You get worship on Sundays as well as the message. So please, guys, we're here for a half hour a day on this show. Okay, 5 days a week between these four shows and 5:11 News, you only get about 27 minutes of us talking about the Word of God. Joe does a message every Sunday. You're getting over an hour. So please dig in with us. Don't stop here. Also get there on the live feed and throw in a comment, because I'll be commenting back with you on there. So hopefully you guys will be blessed by that. So with all that, guys, we discussed an important topic last week and the week before. We've been discussing a number of eschatological or end times or eschaton, the end times ministries or, I'm sorry, studies, theological discussions within the body of Christ, some of which we would say are not within the body of Christ. For example, I would say full preterism is mentioned specifically by Paul to Timothy. He mentions certain teachers that were spreading like gangrene, guys like Hymenaeus and Philetus, that taught that the resurrection has already happened. So we want to talk about these things because they aren't just minor, okay? We may have people that are in-house concerning this debate, and we're going to be talking about the rapture. I think last week we did a great job of just explaining, guys, there is a rapture. You may not like that, especially some people are like, oh, there's no such thing as a rapture. Guys, go back to the teaching. We spent a half hour just going through rapture text after rapture text. There is a rapture. And guys, we want to talk about this. And not only on these episodes, not only are there a ton of teachings you have online, but guys, we have an entire video about the origins of this doctrine, why it was not taught in any major church, any creed, any doctrine where you find what we're going to be talking about today a little bit, the pre-trib rapture doctrine. It is not found until the 1800s. So go check out Left Behind or Led Astray. You can see the trailer for it at our YouTube channel. Tony will put the link. And you can also go to leftbehindorledastray.org. Is that the right website, Tony?
That's correct.
That's correct.
And I think it's .org.
And also, guys, go to our YouTube channel, because not only are you going to find a teaching that Joe also did about the great pre-trib rapture deception that's on there, but you are also going to be able to find an entire debate, not the entire thing because some of it got lost in the mailing, but almost the entire debate in full on our YouTube channel. You guys get it for free. A ton of people bought from the Prophecy and the News Conference, bought their entire series so they could have that debate. We said, give it to us so we can upload it so everyone can see the truth of the doctrine.
But yeah, we got it for free.
we debated
Dr. Stauffer. We had a great debate. You know.
Yeah, and if you guys want to check out, I wrote a review for it, which is on Left Behind or Led Astray. So hopefully,
and that's .com, by the way.
Oh, it is .com.
Leftbehindorledastray.com, and everything that you're talking about is on this website.
Yes, everything. The debate, the video, the trailer, everything, guys. So let's just
get into a strange story about how we got a hold of that website, leftbehindorledastray.com. The guy was pre-trib. He thought he was going to the rapture, so he let it go. He let it go to us, but now we got it, and he's still here. You know? Not a true story, folks. Just joking.
No, but guys, this is a really important topic, and it is one that ruffles some feathers. You know, sadly, I will say this from our position. Okay, we could give brotherly hugs and say, seriously, you're our brethren if you differ with us. But I will tell you this.
It's in-house debate.
And I will tell you this from, I could show you emails. Okay, I can show you the people we've dealt with online. Okay. The fact is that a lot of times when you come out and you say, hey, I'm post-trib, a lot of times you aren't very much treated like a brother. Okay. And we've even been called, Joe specifically, been called a fool from someone who calls himself a believer. And
a lady. A woman teacher on the. Even though we showed her where her quote was totally wrong and she got really ticked off.
Yeah, that was the problem is that, you know, sometimes when you have the receipts,
what
people
she said
get
about
mad
a quote,
about that. Yeah. When you're proven wrong, sometimes it's good to say, hey, I guess I was wrong. They really did say that. And Tony, you did a good job on your research on that. But anyways, I know that is a long intro into this message. And we were going through the scriptures. And one of the things we said immediately, I was like, are you sure you're going to get to all that? Because I've been dealing with this subject. Joe's been dealing with the subject for 30 some years. So guys, we really do care about this. So please, and if you differ with us, guys, you can go to the comments and we can have a talk about it. Don't just copy and paste a bunch of nonsense and a bunch of teachings. But if you want to have a conversation, say, hey, I believe this is teaching the rapture. We had some fine people write that today on our site when one of the teachings was uploaded and I got to have a discussion.
Praise God, amen. We love to talk about this issue.
Exactly. So we're more than willing, all right? So please.
They don't talk about it in the early church. There's no discussion on pre-trib or post.
Right.
And you know why they didn't get into it? Because it was always post-trib. There was no pre-trib view to debate.
Amen, amen.
But let's go.
Same thing with the millennium period. We got another one on that. But okay, guys, so we're going to start off. I'll start off with a text, and then Joe's going to give a little exegesis for you guys. In 1 Thessalonians 4, this is a rapture text, okay? I would argue this text, maybe a couple others, are one of the pinnacle rapture texts. If you start discussing the subject, this will be said. I will almost guarantee it. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus."
Yeah, that's a classic rapture text. We praise God for that. 1 Corinthians 15:50-52 is another one. We talked about that in one of our last episodes. And praise God. I mean, you know, I'm so grateful we have the Word of God, because when I first became a Christian, my first study Bible was a pre-trib study Bible, Scofield study Bible. But I was far more into the actual text than the notes. And I started to realize, wow, when I'm reading Matthew 24, Jesus is talking to his apostles. Peter, James, John, Andrew, you find that out from Mark 13, the parallel text in the Olivet Discourse. Yeah. He's telling them about how they're going to go through the tribulation. These are the apostles who are going to lead the early church, and he's preparing them. When you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, you know, split, you know, take off. And he talks about how they'll persecute you, and you'll be handed over and killed for my name's sake, and you'll be handed over to tribulation, and there will be great tribulation. He keeps saying you, plural pronoun, you know, to Peter, James, John, and Andrew. And do you think they're supposed to say, well, he really doesn't mean us. We'd be raptured before this. No, that's not what they're thinking at all. And as I'm reading that through those scriptures and the Olivet Discourse and John saying, you know, little children, you know, it's last hour, and you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many are in the world. And Revelation, John even saying, here's the number of his name, it's written and addressed to the churches. I'm going through the scripture as a brand new Christian. I'm reading Daniel, I'm reading the New Testament Gospels to the apostles of the early church. I'm reading through the epistles in the book of Revelation, and it's so clear that the church is going to be persecuted by the Antichrist. Then guess what? I'm a new Christian. I find a couple Christian radio stations. And Oh, how sweet, isn't it so nice? I mean, there's no clear verse that says this, but you know, we believe if you put the scriptures together in a certain way, we're out of here. We're not going to face the tribulation. God's going to leave it to the Jews to get slaughtered again. And you know, there'll be a great Holocaust, but the church isn't going to have to face that. And isn't that great? And I'm waiting for the verse. I'm like, really? Is that what I've been reading? And they could never come up with a verse. In fact, our fellowship had offered for years a $10,000 offer for just one clear verse that says the rapture will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air before the tribulation begins. Obviously, nobody was able to collect. I give several admissions from John Walvoord. Dr. Stauffer, when I debated him as well, I used one of his admissions. And over again, I found many quotes from pre-trib leaders who admit there's no verse that says there'll be a pre-trib rapture. There's no clear verse that states it. Several people have admitted that in the past. I'm grateful for their candor when they have admitted it. But guess what? As I started hearing this more and more, I was like, what in the world? Go back to the scripture, start to realize there's a debate in the church right now. But then I go and I end up buying the Ante-Nicene Fathers, the 10 volumes of the early church fathers for the first few centuries of church history before the Roman Catholic Church emerged. And one and all, whenever the tribulation comes up and they reference the Antichrist in the church and how they correlate, it's direct statements from Irenaeus, from Justin Martyr, and others that the Antichrist will put the church to flight. There was no debate pre-mid or post. They understood the second coming was a second coming. They didn't look at it there being a secret rapture 7 years before the second coming or 3.5 years earlier or what have you. So it's really interesting that now, and Paul actually warns concerning Christ coming, are being gathered together to him. That's the rapture. 2 Thessalonians 2 tells us not to be deceived by word or letter or spirit as though that day has come already or is at hand. And he says it won't happen until the fallen away comes first, the man of sin, the son of perdition, since the temple of God showed himself that he is God. In other words, Paul says, don't be deceived in getting the cart before the horse. And I think we might be doing that a lot right now, a little bit, because we want to actually check out the gospel before we eventually go to the epistles in another episode and, you know, eventually the book of Revelation. So we'll have a few episodes on this. But I want to look specifically, we'll look at the book of Revelation a couple places, but mainly at the gospel of John, because Jesus reveals very clearly, when he's coming back for believers in the Gospel of John. And Chad, you had read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 and 14. Now, Paul's talking to grieving Christians who were ignorant of the fact that Jesus had promised to resurrect believers at his coming. And he doesn't want them to be ignorant of those who had fallen asleep. They'd be like, what happened to our loved ones in the Lord? You know, what's going to happen with them? So Paul's going to encourage them to let them know that, guess what? Don't worry. You know, God has that covered. But in doing so, he's also going to let them know when the rapture is going to take place, because he's going to tell them that they're going to be raised. But he's going to also say that those of us who are alive when Jesus comes, say we don't die first, right? Lord returns. Those of us who are alive will also be caught up to meet them in the air. But notice who he says will go first. And if you're listening, listen carefully. What happens first, the resurrection of dead believers or the rapture? Who gets, do unbelievers get caught up, or do believers get caught up who are alive before or after the resurrection? It's very clear in the text.
For this we say to you, and this is verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of our Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words.
Amen. So it's critical that we understand when we want to find the location of when the rapture takes place. The early church fathers, they all believed it was at the last day, not 7 years before the Armageddon, but they believed it was at the last day at the end of the tribulation period. And that's what Jesus taught as well, and that's why the early church believed that. Now notice, Chad had read, the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive will be caught up to meet them in the air. So we're caught up to meet him, those living saints, after the resurrection of those who are in Christ, the dead in Christ. So all those who are dead in Christ will rise, and then we'll be caught up to meet them in the air. So if we can find when Jesus promised that the resurrection, or stated that the resurrection of believers would take place, then we know the rapture happens immediately after that. So it's interesting, when you go to the Gospel of John, John actually tells us when the last day is. He tells us that there will be a judgment on the last day. Now, that doesn't say the believers will be resurrected in the last day yet, but I want you to notice in John 12:48 that Jesus says this, He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. So Jesus tells us very clearly that his judgment is going to come on the wicked at the last day. And of course, that's at Armageddon. Jesus comes with the sword of his mouth and the white horse and judges the wicked at the last day of the tribulation period. So we know Jesus specifically says here, and I want him, you really get this, in 12:48 of John, he rejects me and does not receive my sayings. He has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. Jesus actually will defeat the Antichrist, it says, with the spirit of his mouth, with the word of God, at the epiphania of his parousia, at the brightness of his coming. It says he'll defeat the Antichrist with the spirit of his mouth and the brightness of his coming, or the epiphania of his the parousia. So, Chad, can you read Revelation 19, some of the verses there, which indicate when Jesus comes back at Armageddon, how he judges the wicked, just like he said, on the last day of the tribulation period?
Yeah, this is, for a lot of you guys' Bibles, it might say the coming of Christ right above verse 11, and it says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him, which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, and the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords."
Amen. Verses 20 and 21.
"And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet, who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword, which came from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh."
Isn't that amazing? It talks about the sword in his mouth, and the Antichrist is defeated with that sword that's in his mouth, and the wicked are judged, you know? But at the same time, we see that Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2 that he'll defeat the Antichrist with the spirit of his mouth, the brightness of his coming. That sword is a picture of the spirit of his mouth. He spoke the universe into existence, right? And he's going to destroy the wicked. He judges, but by the way, in Revelation 19 that you read, Chad, just a couple highlights, he judges and wages war, because we read that Jesus says he'll judge the wicked on the last day, those who reject him. His name is called the Word of God, because he says he'll judge him by the word, right? Verse 13, verse 15, "From his mouth comes a sharp sword so that he might strike down the nations." And isn't it interesting, what happens on the last day when he brings judgment? Well, guess what? You also have the resurrection of the believers on the last day. Chad, or Tony, can you go ahead and read verses 4 and 5 of chapter 20?
"Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection."
This is the what resurrection, Tony?
The first.
This is the first resurrection. So the first resurrection that takes place is after the tribulation, when Jesus comes back to destroy the Antichrist. Doesn't say, now if there was a pre-trib rapture 7 years earlier, because keep in mind, the rapture doesn't happen until what? The first resurrection. Mm-hmm. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then those who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet them in the air. So the first resurrection actually happens on the last day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns in glory. And he specifically says, this is the first resurrection. Now, if there was a rapture, some will say, well, no, there's a rapture 7 years earlier. Well, guess what? The rapture doesn't come after what? After the resurrection, amen? So guess what, folks? We got to face the reality that the resurrection happens before the rapture. The first resurrection is at the end of the tribulation. Now, a pre-tribber could say, but well, there's a resurrection, also before the tribulation. Okay, show us. Give us a scripture. You better got to prove that from the Word of God. You can't just say that. You got to prove it very clearly from the Word of God. You can't. And by the way, if there was a resurrection of the believers of the church prior to the first resurrection, we would see it in scripture, and this would not be called the first resurrection. Mm-hmm. This would be called the second resurrection. And if you say, well, it's just part of the first resurrection, well, the onus is on you to still show us where. It's not there, folks. It's not there. It's so important that we get this and we understand it. Now, it's interesting as well, because if there was a verse, now I will say this, if there was a verse that says the rapture will come 7 years before the last day, or there will be a resurrection of the believers 7 years before the last day, guess what I would be? I'd have to become a pre-trib believer. Wow.
We'd get invited on a lot more shows.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Oh, yeah, that's for sure. That's right. Oh, Jan Markell would be our best friend, you know. I'm kidding, because we had been getting invited on our show until we came out with Left Behind, Led Astray, and then all of a sudden we were the devil. Now, it's interesting. Now, what if I read from second pre-tribodiah, okay? second pre-tribodiah, and it said, quote, whoever believes in Jesus will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up 7 years before the last day. Wouldn't you guys all agree? By the way, there's no second pre-tribodiah 2:6 anywhere in the scripture, and I don't think it exists anywhere. It's not even in the Book of Mormon, folks. But if we had a scripture that said, whoever believes in Jesus Christ will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up 7 years before the last day, wouldn't you agree that that would be the go-to verse? I mean, I'd have given $10,000 of the ministry's money away years ago if that was the case, but it isn't. However, guess what? If we can find verses that say that, because we know he comes in the last day, we know his judgment comes in the last day, if we can find verses that talk about how he's going to resurrect born-again believers, church-age believers on the last day, we know that's at the end of the tribulation, because we just saw that's when he judges the wicked. His judgment will come on the wicked at the last day. Guess what, folks? That's what we see over and over again. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 39. He says, this is the will of him who sent me, that all who he has given me, I will lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. There it is, brothers and sisters. Jesus already said the judgment would take place against the wicked on the last day. And on that same last day, he says, this is the will of him who sent me, that of all who he has given me, he describes those who have given to him as the ones who are believing on him, I will lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. Brothers and sisters, have you been given to Jesus by the Father? Do you belong to Jesus? Well, guess what? Guess when you're going to be raised up? On the last day, not 7 years earlier. Okay? And go. Guess what? It goes on. The scriptures go on to let us know in John chapter 6, verse 40. For this is the will of my Father, Jesus says, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him. Are you beholding the Son, brothers and sisters? Are you believing in Jesus? This applies to you. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone, okay, don't say, well, that might be just for certain believers, but I'm going to go up in the pre-trib rapture. No, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who believe or beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Okay? Now, it's interesting, because we see this over and over again. I've been drawn to the Father. I've been drawn to Jesus by the Father. Well, guess what? Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. There's again. I think Jesus is trying to get something through our heads. If that weren't enough, Jesus went on to emphasize that those who have benefited from his shed blood on the cross for their sins will be raised up. Guess when? That's right, on the last day. John 6, 54. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. By the way, brothers and sisters, this was clearly the teaching and the accepted teaching of the early church. They believed the resurrection was at the last day, the end of the age. Not 7 years before the end of the age, not 3.5 years before the end of the age, but the last day of the age. In fact, Jesus, when Mary and Martha were upset that he hadn't come earlier to heal Lazarus before he had died, we read this in John chapter 11, verses 23 through 25 of Martha. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Where do you think she got that? Praise God, she was listening. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection of life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? This is an application to all genuine believers in Jesus that we will be raised on the last day. So, brothers and sisters, it's an inescapable conclusion for all those who have ears to hear and who have eyes to see that the dead in Christ will rise first, okay? And then the rapture will take place. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up, and it could be translated, those who are alive and survive will be caught up together to meet them in the air. Number two, the dead do not rise until the last day. Next, the last day takes place at the end of the tribulation when Jesus comes to judge the wicked. We've shown that through all these different verses. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 11 through 13, he talks about this coming resurrection. In verses 1 and 2, he talks about the resurrection of the believers. And guess what? That's a passage of resurrection, which even pre-tribs typically put at the end of the age. And then in verses 11 through 13, we read, from the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, that's when the Antichrist sits in the temple. It puts his image there. There will be 1,290 days. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 1,335th day. It goes on to say, but as for you, Daniel, go your way to the end. Then you will enter into rest and rise again, for your allotted portion is at the end of the age, not 7 years earlier. And the believers understood when Jesus was talking to his apostles about Daniel's prophecy. He told Peter, James, John, and Andrew, the apostles of the early church, who is preparing to face the end times, should they be alive when it came to pass. He says, therefore to them, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, saying in the holy place, let the reader understand. He let them know that they would face the Antichrist. In 24:9, he says, then they would deliver you, plural pronoun, Peter, James, John, Andrew, any of the believers who are following his instruction, and will kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations because of my name. By the way, he's talking about the beginning of the tribulation there. You'll be hated by all nations because of my name, the name of Jesus. If the rapture just took place at the beginning of the tribulation, there's no believers in his name to be persecuted. But he's talking to people who are already following him, showing that they're going to face that time should it come in their lifetimes. Matthew 24:22, unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Why? Why did that be cut short? Lord, you're going to take us 7 years earlier anyway. No, because we're going to be here until the last day. And then Jesus says to Peter, James, John, and Andrew, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather his together, his elect, from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Brothers and sisters, guess what? We're looking, the name of the fellowship that I pastor, we called it, the name of it's Blessed Hope Chapel. We're looking forward to, as Paul says, the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's a glorious appearing. It's not a secret rapture. In fact, Jesus actually warned about those who would teach that he's coming secretly and that he's in the inner rooms or he's in the desert place. He said it wouldn't be a secret. He said it'll be like lightning shining from the east to the west. This is a teaching of scripture. This was a teaching of the apostolic church in the first few centuries of church history. It's only Johnny come lately teaching that says, no, there'll be a secret rapture. Don't worry. You won't have to go through that. God wouldn't let you go through a tribulation period. He loves you too much to go through that. That's how the enemy would speak to us, because the enemy does not want us to be prepared. Because guess what, you guys? The Bible teaches that to be forewarned is to be forearmed. If you're not forewarned, you won't be forearmed. And the enemy doesn't want us armed. He wants to grease the church for the slaughter and have it unprepared to face the times ahead. We have our marching orders. Jesus says, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end will come. Don't abdicate your marching orders. Get busy witnessing for Jesus. Shine his light and understand to die is gain. Press on. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Love you guys.
Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.